First case is 25-1022, Apple versus SpaceTime. Mr. Rosenthal, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I may. Thank you. My name is Brian Rosenthal. I'm here on behalf of the appellants in the first argument and cross-appellees. This appeal is focused on a single claim term, which is the rendered first web page. The board committed an error by introducing into the claim a concept that is nowhere in the claims and is nowhere in the specification, which is the idea of an old version of a web page. That's a new concept, and it's not mandated by the claims, nor is it supported by the specification. So we think that was error, and on that basis alone, the case should be reversed, because that was the only basis on which the board found.
You say old version. What about a prior version?
That concept is also not in the claims or in the specification.
But they're different concepts.
I suppose they are different, although both of them introduce the idea that there exists in the system some notion and tracking of old versions of web pages, one version that existed at this point in time, one version that existed at this point in time. And whenever you refer to a prior version or an old version, you're invoking that concept. It is that concept that the board improperly injected. There is no
concept. They didn't inject the words in the claim, and the words in the claim are the rendered. Those words have some meaning, do they not? In fact, the irony of this case, the odd thing in this case, is that the cross-appeal deals with Claim 14, which doesn't have those words. And as a result, you won that piece of the case, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And in fact, the fact that SpaceTime is arguing about the word rendered over and over and over again in Claim 1 and saying that's the litmus test, the thing that actually causes us to go to the rendered version, the old version, but then they get to claim 14 in the cross appeal.
I know, so there's this irony or this kind of clash between the positions taken on the claim 1 versus claim 14. But I'm having a hard time getting around the words the rendered first. I mean, that means something. Clearly, claim 14 cries out because it's not there.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's what I think led the board, arguably sensibly, to reach different conclusions with respect to those claims.
Your Honor, that's the nub of the issue. That's the issue, is what does that term, the rendered, mean as opposed to the first web page? And, Your Honor, I submit that what it means is something very simple. It is the first web page that was rendered. It is referring to the rendering process that occurred earlier in the claim. What it is not doing is referring to some rendering or some old version of the web page. And the reason I know it's not that is because that would be completely contrary to what's disclosed in the specification. And in order to do that, you would have to have some system to keep track of what version of the web page was rendered at a certain point in time. That's a concept that's not in the claim. So to answer your question very directly, what does it mean when it says the rendered first web page? It means simply the first web page that was rendered in the earlier step. What it does not mean is the rendering of the first web page or the rendered version of the first web page.
It's simply the same answer that you gave us in the brief to this implicit question, what is rendering or rendered doing? In the claims, I had understood you to be distinguishing between HTML raw code that would mean nothing to me if I saw it on a screen versus rendering it in a display that a human could understand. That was what I thought was your answer in the briefing to Judge Prost's question, what is rendered doing in the claim? Is that the same answer that you just gave?
It's not the same answer. They're both true, Your Honor. And the reason that we explain that in the brief is that there was an argument made that in Claim 14, the word rendered isn't there. In Claim 1, the word rendered is there. And if the word rendered simply means the version or the web page that was rendered, why not simply say the first web page? That the rendered or the word rendered seems superfluous. And so what we were doing in the brief, and I stand by it, is explaining that if it is important, and sometimes it is, for us to identify meaning for every single word in the claim, which is a tentative claim construction, there is meaning if one looks for it, and that is that there are different ways that you can show a web page. And everyone can do this. If you go on Internet Explorer, you can say view source, and you can see in code that does mean something to some people, you can see the actual HTML source. Why would I want to do that? Sometimes I do that because I want to see where is this image coming from, or where are they getting this feed from for the ESPN website. And you can actually see the locations of those things. So there's a valid reason to do that. So there is a difference between showing a web page in unrendered form and in rendered form. And what Claim 1 does, for sure, is it says that what you have to display in 2D is the rendered version, not the unrendered. Claim 14 is agnostic as to that. It could be the rendered version. It could be the unrendered version. But regardless, that tenet of claim construction is a soft one. There's the many cases that this court has held, including the Simple Air versus Sony case and many others, that says it's great for us to try to pin a meaning on every single word, but it's not necessary. Some claims are just redundant. Some claims have superfluous language in them. And we didn't draft these claims, and I'm not here to defend the claims. And it could be that the word rendered wasn't strictly necessary in Claim 1. But what that doesn't do is give the board license to now inject into the claim a meaning of the rendered that is not only unsupported by, but is contrary to what's disclosed in the specification. The specification makes very clear, there's only one embodiment of this limitation in the claims. And by this limitation, I mean switching to 2D. That is described in one place in the specification and one place only. And that is column 21, lines 20 to 60, which is this disclosure of the bind to heads-up display.
So you would argue that the claim does not rely on an anaphoric phrase. There is no anaphoric phrase in the claim.
There is none. If the claim said, for instance, and
on that point alone, if you lose, you lose.
If we lose, that there is no antecedent for that.
Correct.
For that, I think if there were a explicit recitation in the claim that the result of the rendering step in the first instance was called the rendered first web page, and there was a later recitation to the rendered first web page, we would have a much harder case. That is not the situation. Here there is only a single noun that is relevant, and that is the first web page. And there is a verb that is applied to that noun, rendering it, displaying it, rendering it, capturing it, texturing it. You do a bunch of verbs to that first web page. Later, there is a recitation to that same noun, and there is also an adjective used, which is the rendered first web page. That refers back to the same noun, and we have always maintained throughout this case, throughout the lower court, throughout the board, that that has to be the same first web page. That is the antecedent basis for the rendered first web page, is that first web page. But that does not mean that it must be the rendered version of that web page. In fact, that idea of somehow keeping a rendered version alive so that it can be used again, it is nowhere in the spec. And in the spec, on column 21, lines 20 to 60, what it describes is this concept of mirroring. That's the whole basis of this embodiment. Mirroring in this patent exists in order to create this 3D world. The inventor describes in this patent a 3D browsing environment that doesn't exist. So in order to make it exist, he has a 2D browsing environment that's off camera, and it operates just like a regular browser. Periodically, you scrape the content of that web page and paste it, texture it, onto a 3D object. If the user clicks on that 3D object, you pretend there's a click being made on the 2D web browser, and by virtue of sort of keeping these synchronized, or in the words of the patent, persistent and a visual bridge, you can then create the illusion of a 3D browser. But critical to that is that the web page continues to be live and acting like a normal web browser. And so column 21, line 20 to 60, talks about when you go back to that 2D version, you simply move the camera over to that 2D version to look at that live page. So I have a simple example. At Christmas time, I look at the NORAD Santa tracker that tells you you know, how, where Santa is at any given point in time. It has a countdown. It tells you, you know, how many minutes left until Christmas Eve. What space-time would have us believe is that this patent, when you bring up the 2D version, you're looking at a stale version of that web page, that you're looking at something that tells you the wrong time, because that's when it was last rendered and last pasted onto the 3D object. There's no disclosure of that in this patent. Instead, it talks about simply moving the camera over to look at the live 2D version, not old version, the 2D version of the web page. And the 2D version of the web page is live, active, constantly refreshed.
What about the idea that rendered is past tense?
Well, Your Honor, it is past tense, but it's also an adjective, like the word owed is past tense, O-W-E-D.
But the board read it as past tense here, I think.
They did.
Why are they wrong?
Well, they're wrong, and it doesn't matter that whether it is past tense or not. They're wrong because what it's referring to is an adjective that happens to be a past participle adjective, like owed, the owed money. That we're not referring to something that happened in the past. We're describing a present condition of the money. When you say rendered, you're describing a present condition of the page. But even if the board were right that it's referring to something that happened in the past, that's simply referring to the web page that was rendered. There is a web page that exists. CNN.com has an HTML page that has a bunch of content that's linked to it. You can look at the code. That was rendered at a certain point in time. And so when the later part of the claim refers to the rendered web page, if the board is right that it's referring to something in the past, all that means is it is that page which was rendered. It is not the version of that page that existed at that split second in time. You know, it's funny. The opposition brief, Spacetime's opposition brief, has an example at page 9 of their opposition of the Lion King movie. And they have it paused at 1 minute and 48 seconds. And they say, oh, when you bring it back, it's still at 1 minute and 48 seconds. Well, that's because in that example, it's been paused. But if the movie was running and it comes back, it wouldn't be at where you looked at it last. It would be at the version, at the part of the movie that it's now at, because it's been running the whole time. And that's what the patent discloses. The patent has no concept of pausing in time a page.
Is there ongoing litigation in this, in Texas?
There is, but it's been stayed, Your Honor. Yeah.
To the outcome of this appeal?
Yes, yes. There's 3 patents involved in that case, of which this is one and 2 others you're going to hear in a moment. And so once this is all done, we'll see what's left. Your Honor, I do want to move to grounds, to the 2 other
you're
points.
You're into your rebuttal.
I'm into my rebuttal. Let me just make 2 very quick points, if that's all right. And that is, even if this construction were correct, the board erred in not considering our rebuttal evidence. The board did not apply Axonix, did not apply OmniMedSci. We've briefed that issue.
And I don't want to delay, but yeah. The Axonix thing, that's different. I mean, we have long views because we hear 15 cases every month. And the notion of opening up an exception, particularly under our deferential standard here, to state-of-the-art new prior art is okay, but other new prior art is not, is really daunting to some of us in terms of opening up the can of
worms. Understood, Your Honor. The only thing I will say is that in the interim, earlier this year, there was a case which was the Apple versus Smart Mobile Text case. It's since the briefing was put in this case, but it's a great example where Axonix was applied, new prior art.
Was it a prep case or a non-prep?
No, it was not. But my point is it was applying Axonix in exactly the way that we're talking about. And whether it is state-of-the-art evidence or otherwise, to look at the prior art in a different way in view of the claim construction has been blessed by this court. I'll pause. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Fitzsimmons, here, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honors. Todd Fitzsimmons here on behalf of Spacetime, the patent owner and cross-appellant. I actually like to pick up right where counsel left off here about describing what's in the specification about what the preferred embodiment and in most cases the only embodiment, which is yes, you're opening web pages. Those web pages are maintained hidden off screen. Images captured and presented in the 3D space. The specification provides, I'm reading from column 5, that the purpose of the 3D space is to create a visual history of the user's computing session. Goes on to say that the visual history is also of where the user last left off. So we have off-screen web pages. We have images of those. It is exactly identical, the mirroring that was discussed earlier. And yes, those you do a search on a browser on Google for whatever the term may be, minimize it, bring it back up in an hour, it's going to have the same search results. The web pages change based on interaction with them. If you go to the claim language, you'll actually see that after the replacing feature, which is in step 1D2, there's then interaction with that web page that results in additional information on a hyperlink. In fact, let's go ahead and turn to the claim if I could direct the court's attention to that. And I'm using the version that's in our red brief only because it has the designations for the claim terms that were used by the board. And we've been, I'll let you give you a second to get there. Claim one I'm referring to. The issue that was up on appeal here is 1D2, which has the replacing language, where the window includes the rendered first web page. First of all, counsel said we argued over and over and over about the word rendered. Absolutely not true. Go back and look at our responsive briefs. We argued over and over and over about the first web page. That's common to both claim 1 and claim 14. The antecedent basis. Yeah, it has the word rendered, and we did mention that obviously provides some guidance as well. So does the word first. We're not just dealing with a web page. It's the first web page, and it's the first web page, and it's the rendered first web page for purposes of claim one. But look back at step 1B. 1B is the first introduction of first web page and second web page. That's the receiving of the web page. Once the web page is received, 1C then describes a series of steps, three, that 1C, 1, 2, and 3, as to how that web page gets displayed. The first step is rendering the first web page. Now that you have a web page that's going to be hidden off screen, we render that web page so we can capture an image of it.
Does that mean convert HTML text?
Correct. It's in the specification. I can point you to the passage on rendering. It's the only use of rendering in the specification. Describes that rendering is necessary for displaying the web page and for making it functional so you can click on the linkage. Dr. Fuchs, their expert, also identified that rendering is ubiquitous for creating a visual image, and it's also a prerequisite.
Why isn't that all that it means at the replacing step, too, just that it continued to be displayed in a fashion that a user can understand colloquially?
Two things. One, the first web page, it's referring to the, right? We start off with a ball. We have the ball. It's the same ball. We have the web page, the first web page, is what is being rendered and captured. We replace it with the first web page, the. Important. They're both using the exact same terminology. The word rendered, as you pointed out, is used in the past tense. And as the board pointed out, was a specific recitation or linkage to the earlier step of rendering. If there was no rendering, I guess you could make that argument. But this argument of somehow it's needed in there, first of all, rendered is clearly referring to the earlier step of rendering. But the fact that rendered is needed to somehow identify the format, to distinguish it over code that is unusable. According to their own experts, you wouldn't capture a web page visual from that. According to the specification, it would be non-functional. You can't click on a link from code. You need to render it so that it actually becomes functional, which then goes on into steps 1D3 and 1D4 and 5, which talks about interacting on a link in the rendered first web page and then rendering that additional information and displaying it. Rendering is like their expert said, ubiquitous. The code itself doesn't do you any good until you render it, and then you get to see the web page that you have. But what's most important is that the board went to not only the claims and said, that's how the claims seem to be describing this. That's how you construe claims in the context of the claim language.
When the first web page is not in the 3D space, let's say it's behind or in the background, is it in a rendered condition at that time?
Absolutely. The first web page? Yeah, if you go to the specification to describe, and that's where the board went next. The board went to the specification, and there's two embodiments. So there's figure 3, which describes a preferred embodiment.
So there's no second rendering to the first web page.
There is no. Well, if the web page was subsequently, as even in the claim language, after the first web page is rendered so it can be captured, then you replace the image back with the rendered version. You can then go on to interact to get additional data, which is then rendered so it can, right, as you get more data, as you download a new web page or a new data, you would render it so it becomes visual. But what the claim is describing is this first notion of receiving a first web page, and then in order to display it, I render it, I capture it, and now, yes, the web page itself is hidden off screen in a static state. It ain't changing because no one's interacted with it. The visual is identical. Claim figure 3 uses the word mirror. They're identical. And if it goes on in figure 3, if a user has an input and does an input onto the right, clicks on a link for new data, it's a cyclical process. It's constantly updated. There is the word periodically updated, but if you look to the specification, it says that's a contingent program for if it can't be updated automatically in real time for no user delay.
Would a person of skill in the art understand the updating to be a rendering?
When you say updating, are you referring to?
You use the word updating.
Yes, updating meaning that we have an initial, let's say we open up Google and it's got its web browser page. We capture an image of that, and that's what's sitting in our 3D space with the image. Those two are sitting there doing it, nothing. In one embodiment described in figure 3, as counsel is referring to, you would click on that image, but it wouldn't do anything. It's just an image. So it would pass that command over to the off-screen web page. It would then get the new web page, render it, capture an image, and replace the image that you're seeing in front of you. So everything's happening in real time. There's always a mirroring going on between the two. In the embodiment that's claimed, it's the replacing, which is what he's describing, and what he mentioned was described at column 22 of the specification, which says you reveal the version that was hidden off screen. You don't move the camera. It comes to you. It goes over the top onto the 2D desktop in front of the 3D browser. And that's what you're seeing. You can interact with it like you normally do, and then it says the same way you brought it in, you can bring it out. It's also in column 21. And it says because you do that, you can, and I quote, it says you can, the end user can toggle or switch between 2D and 3D for any selective captured computing output and information, web pages and so forth. But the point here is that they're made to be identical. It's a cyclical process described in there. There's like four or five passages that I could quote to the court that identifies that what is off screen is what's on screen. Maybe it's not that useful if you're on a web page that's constantly changing, but a lot of web pages are static. That's the way the invention was written. That's the way it was described in the specification to be consistent with that.
Rosenthal says there's nothing in the spec describing the system keeping track of all of these, let's call them static scale.
Absolutely there is.
Show me what that is.
Well, when I say keep track, and we could just go straight to figure 3, which is the embodiment which doesn't replace it, but, you know, it has the same similar functionality. Well, actually, let's go to figure 2.
Can you give me a page site?
Oh, I'm sorry. Appendix 94.
Thank you.
If you go to figure 2, let me know when you're there.
Go ahead.
That just describes the general concept of any time there's a user input onto the, right, regardless of whether you're inputting directly or it's being mapped over, recalculate and redraw the scene. That's just a general kind of a looping process. But if we actually go to the next page, go to figure 3, you will see in this embodiment, you open a web page at 130. You then, it acts as a mirror to its 3D, I'm reading at 140 right below it, acts as a mirror to its 3D representation. So the web page right now is just, right, the opening page of Google.
I guess maybe I'm not following why mirroring necessarily implies an old version of the website.
It doesn't imply an old version. It implies whatever is over here is over here.
But what if whatever is over here is itself alive and changing, like the
spec doesn't
tracker.
Really deal with a situation like that. It doesn't deal.
Well, that's what the case is about.
No, I disagree, Your Honor. What the case is about is that it describes that if we have a web page that was opened, that web page, an image gets captured and it gets presented. It does say as we go on in figure 3, if I may.
Sure.
I apologize. But it does then go down to mapping a visual output onto arbitrary 3D geometry. That's in 142. You then, if you try to interact or if you interact with the web page directly at 152, mouse clicks and so forth would go to the mirror control running in the 2D environment. That's the hidden version off screen. What would happen, follow that line around to 146 where you're capturing the on-screen output of the window as a bitmap, store the bitmap, and then map it back over in 3D geometry. Right? You see this loop, which the specification describes as a cyclical process. And so they're just taking an example of, we open up a web page and it's static and we capture an image, and then if we interact with that web page by clicking on a link or something and changing its content, an image will be captured and pasted so that we keep the mirror going. You're asking a question of what happens if that web page on its own is running and constantly moving. That's an area that's not being addressed, and maybe arguably, you know, would be an issue that would be dealt with when it comes to infringement, not with respect to validity of the claims, which is dealing with essentially a static web page. And I know I'm running out of time here, Your Honor, but if I could, I'd be remiss if I didn't tie this together with Claim 14, which again has the exact same language, which is the first web page. Once we understand that the rendered
first... you're right, the languages, it's not the exact same language because it doesn't have the word rendered.
It doesn't have the word rendered because it doesn't have the step rendering, and so it would make no sense to put it in there. I guess if it was a format, you would, but it's not being used as a format in Claim 1. It's being used for antecedent basis to refer back to the rendering step. In Claim 14, there is no rendering step. Not every step is recited in every single claim, right? Claims have varying scopes. So it just refers to what is being replaced is the first web page. If we look back antecedent basis, we see that what is generating the image from the first web page. It sounds like there's that same mirror that we just talked about. That's supported by the claim language, antecedent basis. What does it mean? If it doesn't mean they're both, they're capturing the image and replacing the image with the exact same thing, the language, the first web page, which is consistent with the specification identifying what's off screen and what's on screen as a mirror. So I'm just saying that the construction that the board gave to the first claim 1D2, limitation 1D2, is accurate. It's consistent with the claim language and the specification. If you look at 14, even though it doesn't have the word rendered, which the board looked for, but didn't go on to address the key issue that we identified in our briefing, which is the first web page, which is, that's why claim 1 in our view and 14, we argued them consistently. One was an exemplary claim and 14 should have had a consistent construction. We argued that all along and in oral arguments.
I didn't see where you argued that as claim construction for purposes of 14. Can you tell me where I would see that?
Absolutely. I mean, I could give you, first of all, what we have here is I could give you like 12.
When I looked at the sites in your brief, and they just seem to be lists that include claim 1 and include claim 14, but I don't see anywhere where you told the board we have a claim construction position that makes claim 14 the same scope as claim 1 on the point we've been talking about.
Yes, what we did, Your Honor, was they presented claim 1 as an exemplary claim, and they put 20 pages of limitation by limitation comparison, one page on claim 14, saying it basically had the same language. We did the same thing. We mapped out the exemplary language, and we focused on the first web page, which is the same language that's in 14. At the end of every section, after we described with respect to ground 1 and ground 2, we said for this reason, independent claims 1, 8, and 14, right? So we summarized 1, 8, and 14 at the end based on our analysis of 1. However, the board identified that our constructions applied equally. The board themselves said that independent claim 14 is similar. This is the, I'm reading from 49, appendix 49.
Thank you.
Independent claim 14 is similar in many respects to claim 1, and petitioner and patent owner cite back to their arguments and evidence as to claim 1 for claim 14. So while we did focus on claim 1 as an exemplary, we always tied up our ground 1 and ground 2 obviousness arguments that it was applicable to 1, 8, and 14 as well as the dependent claims. And the board understood that and reiterated that. Again, that was at appendix 49.
Okay, thank you.
And at appendix 77 for ground 2, that was ground 1. I know I've used up most of my time. If the board would let me do any rebuttal at the end, I mean, I'm sorry, if the court I would appreciate that.
We're going to restore 3 minutes of rebuttal, so for your friend on the other side, so we'll give you an extra minute if he raises the cross appeal.
Thank you. Yeah, because I wanted to address the APA and so forth. I could do that in 1 minute.
We're done. Thank you. We'll restore 3 minutes of rebuttal.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. I really just want to focus on what now appears to be the nub of the issue, which counsel is now saying just isn't contemplated by this patent, which is, well, what if that web page that's shown off screen, that's not shown but is off screen, is live? And counsel's saying, well, that's not contemplated by this patent. That is their very example on page 9 through 13 of their opposition brief, is a movie of The Lion King. They're saying this is exemplary of what our patent is all about, that when you're watching The Lion King, if it's at 1 minute and 48 seconds, when you bring it back onto 2D, it will still be at 1 minute and 48 seconds. That's their argument as to what they think their patent is all about. And when asked about, well, what happens if it's a live web page, like a movie or like a countdown or like something with a clock, they said, oh, our patent's not interested in that. That's their example.
I think he's telling you now that the scope of his patent does not include if The Lion King is playing.
Well, and Your Honor, I think the point is, first of all, that's totally different from what I think they said in their brief, but notwithstanding that, the patent talks about an ordinary, regular 2D web browser. And when this patent was filed, ordinary 2D web browsers constantly updated the view of a web page. If there was a countdown, if there was a clock, a very simple web page could just be show the time. And that time is constantly changing.
That updating, that can only happen with a new instruction.
Well, it could be the same instruction, but it's constantly re-rendering it.
Is that, okay. I wanted to use a word, updating.
Yes.
Use re-rendering.
Because
re-rendering is a new word here. But basically what you're talking about is updating is each time it updates, it's a new rendered.
Correct, Your Honor. Every time you take the code and you change what's displayed on the screen, that's called rendering. That's what rendering is taking the code, interpreting it, and showing it on the screen. And that is done in every web browser constantly, anytime that something needs to be redone.
You argue that's what impacts the interpretation of the word the.
Exactly. And counsel couldn't have said it better when he said that the rendered first web page, what is it referring back to? The first web page. And we agree with that. It is the first web page. It's the same web page that was downloaded in the first instance. But it's not the same rendering. It's whatever the version, whatever the rendered version of that web page is right now. I said that the way that the patent describes this is moving the camera over, and he chided me and said, no, that's not how it works. That's exactly how it's described in the patent. At column 21, line 39 to 45, it moves the camera over to look at that web page. If it's a live web page, it's a live web page. So it is not the old version. It's the first web page in whatever state it is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Cover the cross appeal.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Cover the cross appeal again, so there's no rebuttal time for that.
Can I respond just to the comment that he just made?
Well, that deals with the main appeal, does it not?
It deals with the characterization of the...
You don't get rebuttal on the main appeal.
That's fine.
Thank you. We thank both sides. The case is submitted.